Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Celebrate him. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. And yes, we will continually to rejoice and to be glad in him. We thank you again for listening to the Undulterated, Uncompromising, Soul-Saving Word of God. We are broadcasting again from the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Today, we're going to be coming from the book of 2 Kings, that fourth chapter. And we want you to get ready to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. But first of all, we're going to get ready to go before the throne of grace. For the word of God says, in all of thy ways, acknowledge him. And he said that he will direct our path. So let's get ready to go before the Most High God. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great and for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you, God, for the great and the mighty things that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you once again that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And thy word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch the radio audience. Give them faith to believe you. Give them courage, Lord God, to go on, no matter what situation that they may be in today. Let them know, God, that you are God and that you are God all by yourself. Father, we just ask thee, Lord God, even if there is sickness in their bodies, infirmity, God, today we bind the spirit of that demon of infirmity, God, and we try to touch their bodies, infiltrate their bodies. God, we pray that now, God, that you will give them total healing and total deliverance. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we just want you to know again that you are listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. And Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the preacher of the hour. We're going to begin our Word of God today, and we're going to begin teaching from 2 Kings, that fourth chapter, and beginning at that eighth verse. And it reads, and it came and it fell on a day that Elisha passed through Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passed by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray you, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a candlestick, and it shall be when he comes to us that he shall be in there. And it fell on a day that he came there, and he turned to the chamber and lay there. And he lay there. And he said to the Hazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he heard, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for you? Will you be spoken or to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, he stood in the door. And he said, about the season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, you man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. And the woman conceived their son at the season. And Elisha said unto her, according to the time of life. We want to put a comma there, and we want to just be able to just to talk about what we already have read. We see here we are talking about a great woman, a woman that God took note of, a woman that the man of God took note of. She was great because of the fact that she took care of the man of God. She was great because she had compassion. She was great because she seen the need, and she moved in a direction that to be able to take care of the man of God. When we look at people and we see that sometimes in their mentality, they see people that are in need, but they don't do anything in order to help that individual or those people. When we look at the man of God, we see that he passed that way quite often. She took note of him. She believed him to be, which he was, a man of God. So therefore, she wanted to make the man of God comfortable. She wanted to make sure that the man of God had everything that he needed. So she decided that she talked to her husband, and when she talked to her husband about the man of God, they decided that they will make a little chamber for him. And they said, let's make a little chamber, I pray you, on the wall, and let us set for him a bed. They decided they would put a bed in there. They were going to put a table. They were going to put a stool, a candlestick for him. In other words, they were going to put some furniture, some things that were needful for that room, for that chamber that they was preparing for the man of God. She didn't want the man of God to go to and for and not be taken care of. And so she and her husband decided that they were going to make this chamber so that he would have a place to rest when he come by. And the word of God tells us in that 11th verse, it said, and it fell on a day that when he came there, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, this is him talking to his servant. He asked him to call the Shunammite woman. Come on. And he said, when he called her, she stood before him. And this is when he began to talk with her. See, he had noticed, and he knew all the good things that he had did, that she had did for the man of God. So in that 13th verse, it said, and he said to him, say now to her, behold, you have been careful, which she had, with all his care of the care that they had for them. And then he wanted to know, what is it to be done for you? What can we do for you? You have been good. You've been very considerate. You've been faithful. You've taken care of us. You've given us a place to be able to lay our head. You give us furniture to be able to use while we're here to make us comfortable. But what can we do? What can we do for you? Will you be spoken for? Would you like for us to speak to the king or to the captain of a host? Do you want us to tell the king of how you treated us and how careful you were to take care of us? Or do you want to us to speak to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell upon my own people. In other words, you know, you don't have to speak to the king. You don't have to speak to the captain of the host because of what I've done. So, therefore, in that 14th verse, if you just pay attention to that, it says, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child. She has no child. And her husband is old. So this is what Gehazi proceeded, that he knew that because her husband was old, she didn't have a child, then he perceived that this would be something that she would appreciate and that something that she would be able to rejoice over. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said to her, he said, about this season, or what is it, a time of life, you shall embrace a son. And she said, nay, Lord, no, Lord, you man of God, do not lie to your handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season. And Elisha had said to her, that Elijah had said, because he said that she was going to conceive. And he did not say that she was going to conceive, just conceive, but he said that you're going to bear, not a girl, but you're going to bear a son. And it was a awesome gift. It was a miraculous happen of God, something that only God could do, only the man of God in walking in faith, believing God that what he said was going to come to pass, because he was a prophet of God. He was a man of God, and he was being used by God. I believe that God see this woman's faithfulness, and again, he see how she had taken care of the man of God. So the word tells in that 17th verse, and the woman conceived and bare a son, just like Elijah said at that season, that Elisha had said to her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that she went out to, he had went out to his father to the reaper. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother, the child that Elijah had prophesied, that had spoken to the woman, had gone out, was in the field with his dad, and he said to his father that he said, my head, my head. In other words, his head was hurting. He was in pain. And so his instruction from his father was to the servant to take him to his mother. You know how it is sometimes when a child is sick, and the dad would say, take him to his mother. He knew that he would nurture him and he would take care of him. And when he, and in the word of God, tell us, and he said to the lad, carrying him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on their knees till noon. And then what happened was the child died. After Elisha had spoken and prophesied to this woman of God, told her that she was going to have this child, gave them the sex of a child, which was going to be a boy child. The child one day began to have headaches. And the father words to the servant was to take him to his mother. She put him on her lap. And he sat on her lap, on her knees, until noon, as the word of God said, and then the child died. And when we pick it up from the 21st verse, and when she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, come on. Oh, my God. When we began to look at the faith of this woman from the beginning, she didn't lay this child on his bed. She didn't lay this child on her husband's bed. But she laid the child on the bed of the man of God. And she shut the door upon him and went out. And then she called to her husband and said to him, send me, I pray you, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. He said, wherefore will you go to him today? You want to know why you're going to the man of God today? For what reason are you going to the man of God? He was saying, it is neither a new moon nor a Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. She didn't explain to him. She didn't tell him that our son is dead. She didn't tell him that I have him lying on the man of God bed. But all she said, that it is well. This is the faith builder of this woman, the woman of how she moved in faith. If she wasn't calling it as she saw it in the natural, but she said, it shall be well. And in that 24th verse, then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not your riding for me, except I bid you. Don't slack up because I'm on here, except I told you. So she went and she came to the man of God to the Mount of Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite woman. Why, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, pray you, to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. Oh, my God. Knowing that there was a dead child in a house, lying on the bed of a prophet, lying on the prophet bed, blood had stopped running in his veins. Blood was no longer circulating throughout his body. Heart had stopped beating. But yet, she is able to say that it is well. Some situations in our life, and all we can see is the problem itself. All we can see what the enemy tries to dictate to us in life. And we don't see faith. We don't see God moving in the matter. But what she said is, all is well. In that 27th verse, when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. Could you imagine losing a child? Could you imagine knowing that your child is not breathing anymore and your child is dead? So she was vexed within her. She was troubled. And the Lord had hid it from him, had hid it from the prophet, and had not told him. This is what she was saying, that the Lord had hid it from me and had not told me. And she said, did I desire son of my Lord? She was reminding him. She said, I didn't ask for a child. Remember when they was asking her, when they were asking her about, did he want to speak to the king? Did he want to make mention of her to someone else? And she, this is not what she really wanted. This is not what you wanted, but the servant, Gehazi, I noticed that this woman, she was married, and she had a husband was old, and she didn't have a child. So therefore, then that's when the man of God spoke to her, and she was able to conceive. And he told her before she conceived that she was going to have, about this time, that she was going to have a child, a man child, a boy child. And then when we look at the 28th verse, it said, then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? And he said to Gehazi, girdle up your line, take my staff in your hand, go your way. If you meet any man, salute him not. Don't take that time to talk to him, because you're on business. This is important. And he said, and if any salute you, answer him not again. Don't go through that. Don't even take the time to salute them back or salute them. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. He knew that this child was in trouble. He knew that the woman was so vexed on the inside that he was going to send his servant that he could lay his staff upon that child, that the child could live. He told him to lay his staff on the boy's face, on that child's face. And in that 30th verse it says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of a child. But there was neither a voice nor hearing. The child didn't respond. Therefore, he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. And when Elisha was come to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in before and shut the door upon them too, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth. Remember, the child was dead. The child wasn't alive, but the child was dead. And his eyes upon his eyes, and his hand upon his hand. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of a child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her. And he said, "Take up your son." Then she went in, fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. I'm telling you that there is nothing too hard for God. I'm telling you this morning, I don't know what situation that you may be going through. I don't know what debt situation is in your life. I don't know what the banker has told you. I don't know what the doctor has told you. I don't know what you were trying to do in your taking care of your business. But I do know that we serve a true and living God. We serve a God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. We serve a God that is able to make a way when it seems to be no way. We serve a God that is able to bring life unto them that are dead. Those that the doctor pronounced dead, those that when life is out of the body, God is able to bring life back into the body. Don't you remember Lazarus? This man was dead for 4 days and had been dead. Same life was out of his body, could not breathe, walk, talk. Blood wasn't circulating in his body. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, God called this man to be able to live and not die. And so it was with the Shunammite woman, with a child. God was able to bring that child back to life. The man of God had wanted to know, what can we do for you? She had did a great and a mighty thing. She was called a great woman. She had prepared for the man of God. She seen the man of God passing by her house. You know, she wasn't like some people would be. You know, when she seen the man of God, they would let the man of God pass and not offering him hospitality. But this woman of God, she took notice of a man of God. And she spoke to her husband, told her husband, "Let's build a chamber for the man of God." She perceived he was a man of God. "Let's build a chamber." And when she did, she began to put a stool and a bed and a candle. I think she did a chair. She put was the necessity that would make him comfortable on his journey when he passed by. And I believe, as I said before, that God took notice of what this woman did. See, your kindness never will go without notice. God took notice of this Shunammite woman and her husband after what they did. And this is when, as you remember, as the man of God wanted to know what could they do for her, this is when question was asked, "Do you want us to go to the king on your behalf? Do you want us to speak well to the king or the captain of the host?" She didn't want any of those things. She didn't want to be well spoken of. She didn't want that. But remember the servant Gehazi. Notice that this woman, she didn't have a, her husband was old, rather, and she didn't have a child. The word didn't tell her that she was old, but it did tell her that the husband was. They didn't have a child. And so the man of God spoke to her and said, "This by this time, you know, you're going to have, at certain at the time, you're going to have a child." He didn't tell them that you have a girl, but he told you you have a boy. And we see, as we read the word of God, that she conceived and she had a boy. But then there was a day that the boy went out, as he had grown, went out into the field with his dad, and he was saying, "My head, my head." He was telling his dad his head was hurt. He was in pain. So they told him, as we read, that they, the dad sent, told the servant, told him that was out in the field, taken to his mom. His mother put him on her knees like a mother would, embraced the child, had the child on his knees because she wanted to hold the child. She wanted to make the child better. But while the child was sitting on her knees, later the child died. And then that's when she laid the child in the man of God, as we said before. She didn't lay it in her bed, in her husband's bed. She didn't lay the child in the child's bed, but she laid it in her, in the man of God's bed. She went to her husband and let her, and she didn't tell her husband what was going on, because all she knew that all is well. She believed that this child was going to be all right. She knew the child wasn't breathing. She knew it wasn't a circulation in the child's body, but she didn't speak negative. She went to get her, the husband wanted to know where she was going, because it wasn't time. It wasn't a new moon that she would, that a man of God, why she wanted to go to the man of God, but she said, all is well. She got the whole of the beast that she was going to be riding on. And she got some young men to go with her, and she went to the man of God. And when they seen her far off, remember when they seen her far off, the man of God sent his servant Gehazi to her, and they wanted to know if he began to go, "Is your husband okay? Is your, in other words, you okay? Are your child okay?" And she answered, "It is well." Could you imagine? Could you imagine knowing that your child was there at home in the man of God's bed, and not, and knew that the child was breathing, knew that the child, the blood in his vein was circulating, but she had the faith to say, "Oh, it's well. It is well." But when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the knees, by his feet, rather. But Gehazi, he was trying to protect the man of God. But yet, this woman was grieving. This woman was vexed. She was, because of the fact that she, when she got to the man of God, that's the purpose, her getting to the man of God. Our purpose is to get to God, to get to God, to get to the servant of God. And she began, she was going to embrace his feet, and Gehazi, he was going to pull away from the man of God. But the man of God, you know, forbidding him from doing so, because he seen that this woman was troubled inside. And she said, and when she began to say, she said, "Did I desire a son?" She was talking to the man of God, remember? She said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord?" In other words, I didn't bring it up. I didn't ask you for this child. I didn't ask you for him. And he, and she was saying, I told, do not deceive me. I said, did I not say, do not deceive me? And then that's when the man of God began to told Gehazi to go and lay his staff upon the boy's face, the child's face. And Gehazi did as as Elisha had told him. But there was no movement. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. But it took the man of God, the man of faith, man of power, man that believed God had gone to the child, as the word of God tells us. And the word of God tells us that he had shut the door. And when he went up, he laid upon the child. He laid on the child. He put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon the child's eyes and his hand upon his hand. And he stretched himself unto the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. And then he returned and he walked in the house to and fro. And he went and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child's eyes open. The child that was dead, the child that blood that would stop running in his veins, the child that was sick, that died, the child began to sneeze, and then after he opened his eyes, and he called, Elisha called Gehazi and told her to get his mother, the Shunammite woman, and he called her. And he told her to take up her son. Isn't that an awesome thing? And when she went in and fell at his feet, she was so grateful. She was so encouraged because God had taken note of her. She was encouraged because her son was no more dead, but her son was alive. The child that had on her knees that died, as she held him, as he was on his knee, her knee was no more dead. This woman had faith to believe God. Now, the word of God told us, when we read Hebrew, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She did not see. The child didn't get up while she was there. The child did not come alive. But the child lay there. She put him on the bed of the man of God and went to the prophet. And the Lord, and the rest we read, we talked about. But the woman was encouraged. I believe that the woman's faith soared. I believe that she knew that there, even if she didn't quite believe 100%, realize that God is God, and that this man was a servant of a Most High God, she believed then that the same man that spoke this child into existence by the mouth of God, this child was again alive. So she was encouraged. Her faith, as I said, soared, and she could be able to continue on. There is somebody out there today that, even as you've heard the word of God, I believe that your faith is going to another level, because you know that there is nothing too hard or nothing impossible for God, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's not what we see. We shouldn't fear after what we see. But we shouldn't fear what we hear. We should stand on the word of God. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, our Father, we thank you today for being so good to us, for blessing us, for increasing our faith. Yes, today, God, we have everlasting faith. Our faith is ever-increasing faith because of the fact, God, that you have shown us through the word of God, time after time, that you are able to move in a dead situation when they are locking or putting locks on the doors, when they have abandoned the home, when there's no money in the bank, when the automobile breaks down, when there is no food in the house. Yet, God, you continue to show yourself strong. So, Lord God, today we thank you for being an almighty God. Thank you for being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for being the Alpha and Omega. Thank you for being the true and living God, one that has all power in your hand, one that's a healer, a deliverer, a mind fixer, a heart regulator, one that is an establisher of faith and a power, who is the true and the living God. Father, we thank you today for that. Father, there are many that are listening to this broadcast and will be listening to this broadcast that do not know you as Lord and Savior, that don't know you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, I pray even now that you would touch their heart. I pray, God, even now that you will cause them to give their lives to you. Father, the word of God says, you said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's true. That's a fact. That you gave your only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So, Lord, today, those that are not saved, I pray even now, God, that you will save them and deliver them. Those that are backslidden, in a backslidden position, I pray, God, that you will touch them and that you will save them. God, you said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, you said that they shall be saved. So, Lord, I believe today, God, that you're able to save to the uttermost. And, Father, we thank you, God, for saving that drug pusher. We thank you, God, for saving that hoochie mama. God, we thank you, God, for saving that prostitute. We thank you, God, this morning for saving that drunkard. Father, that wino. We thank you for saving that liar. Ha, ha. We thank you, Lord God, for saving, God, that executive that's in that office, that administration. Father, we ask you, Lord, to have your way, God, even now. And, Father, we just give you praise and glory. And, God, even those that have a life that they're doing and trying to do the right thing, but yet they're not saved, Lord, I pray even now that you'll save them. Because we believe and we know that you save to the uttermost. And for this, God, we will glorify and magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And, Lord, we thank thee. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please join us on next week at this very same time. And we again will talk about the power of God. May God bless and keep you. Is our